Hello and welcome to another Connecting Consciousness. It's the 22nd and hopefully we'll get this out to some point at the weekend. Great deal has been going on, you all know, you're all aware, and maybe we've had a lull, maybe it's been fairly quiet over the last few weeks since the beginning of the new year, but there's most definitely a very large uptake in the energies at the moment. So let's start with the shooting. Connecting Consciousness, we did a meditation with Australia supporting New Zealand. Regardless of whether it was a false flag, regardless of whether anybody really died, the design of these things is to cause trauma. And so by having a joint meditation, what we did, we're able to focus those members who are with Connecting Consciousness and those who are not but attend meetings as guests, to focus on a positive, have a theme, have an idea and a plan. Looking at that situation, obviously those of you who may have seen some of the video are highly suspicious that no bullets seem to go through the windshield or the windscreen. I've seen a number of occasions where firearms have been discharged through a windshield. There's always a penetration of the laminate glass. The other one, of course, backpacks, the rucksacks, the black sun emblem on the backpack, that says it all. So regardless of who, what, where or why, this is designed to create trauma and upset in a hitherto peaceful place, and so we really have to come together and fight against this. Plenty of very useful videos, I believe, out there which, you know, show the questions that have not been answered by the establishment, and the very fact that these videos are being banned, prison sentences, fines for people watching or sharing, can only be because there's certain elements in that video that the elite don't want you to see. You know, the answers are always hidden within these videos. So we're noticing quite a sharp clampdown now on the social media. People like Facebook, of course, they're not going to be clamped down on because they're Facebook. So it will only be certain posts that are clamped down with. So social media will increase and grow, but the contributions will be more and more narrowed back. So that's really all I want to say on that. It's not the last of it, we're going to see more, I'm really sorry to say. But I think, I suppose, the more that go on, the more and more people will begin to refuse to believe what they're being shown. All right, so that's that one. I want to talk about Brexit, it's very important. I'm sure most British people and many Europeans are quite sick of it. But it is really important. It's a massive political situation for this country. And I think what I wanted to do was perhaps just to talk a little bit about some of the things that the mainstream media are not saying. The fundamental point is that Britain is destined to leave the European Union, and that's enshrined in law, and no motions from any particular party actually overcome that unless it's done through law. And so that's what they're trying to do, is to extend the deadline. Now the deadline extending into May is only if the Prime Minister can get her deal through Parliament, and that's scheduled for next week. And this would be the third attempt to get it through. And if that deal is rejected, as the other two were, then the cut-off date comes right back to the 12th of April. So the very fact that Europe have done that means that they know full well that the British Prime Minister is not going to get the deal through this week, and they are going to give her till the 12th of April. What's compounding matters is that I understand that this weekend a deputation of very senior Conservative Party members intend to call upon her. Now, one person told me it would be like a conference call. Another person said they would actually turn up and tell her to go. But not just to go, but to go next week. So there is a a deputation of some sort on the way to the British Prime Minister, telling her to resign next week. And the person who was telling me this said that the whole object was to get her to resign and leave before the next vote. And that's very credible information. As it stands, I think Britain's a very good chance of leaving the European Union with no deal at all. I know that there's an awful lot of people now who are biting their nails and they're very panicky about this. Very concerned, they believe themselves to be very strong and solid Europeans, and there is an argument that there should be a second referendum. I understand that's been totally ruled out. To revoke Article 50 permanently, no, that's not going to happen. Mrs. May does not want to call a general election, so that's not going to happen. So that's left the European Union and the Conservative Party with a very, very narrow set of options. And the ones that you're aware of from the European Union are precisely because the British Prime Minister no longer matters. That's a terrible thing to say, but that's the reality of it. It's now Parliament that is calling the shots, not the British Prime Minister. And because of that, that's why the Tory Party now wish to get rid of her. In the same way as they got rid of Margaret Thatcher, after those of you who remember the poll tax or council tax, Margaret Thatcher was no longer a force to be reckoned with, and they got rid of her. That's the situation here. So whilst she may absolutely refuse and say, I'm not leaving, and remember, they can't get rid of her because she won a vote of no confidence, and that keeps her in power for 12 months. But she's got no authority at all. So things can only become actually clearer as we develop. I think we're through the worst of it now. Things are going to be a lot clearer. So that's that. Okay, next subject, Antarctica, something that's dropped out of the news. And I just very briefly want to say that not just myself, but a number of other commentators, up to about 2 years ago, were talking about the underground craft and the caverns in Antarctica, and the deal that was going to be done with ex-President Obama, which fell through, and then Trump and his advisors then made a new approach and an arrangement. Some of that technology has now been released to a small number of corporations, and to prevent a global conflict, it has been equally apportioned between the East and the West. In other words, that Putin is overseeing a release of this technology, although it's been done through arm's length. He's not doing it. It's a Russian company, which is then farming stuff out to approved subsidiaries. And the United States of America, again, is exactly, excuse me, it's exactly the same technologies, but the approach in the US is somewhat different. And the same thing, that those corporations are now working with that. And this is part of President Trump's Let's Make America Great Again, and part of Putin's, you know, let's build a fortress Russia. So the fact that both great nations have the same technology but are working them up differently means that they're not in competition with each other. That's quite interesting. So that was a deal that was brokered some 2 years ago, but I'm now fully convinced that that technology is already out at corporate level. It doesn't mean that you're going to see it on the shelves yet, but I would suggest this time next year you will. So that's that side of it. The situation with President Trump and the military, President Trump is still there, still supported by major units of the military. I'm still waiting for evidence to come forward that he colluded with Russia, and that doesn't seem to have happened. The Mueller inquiry is very pivotal. They may try and hold that back for as much as 3 months or 6 months, because when the Mueller inquiry comes out, that is a trigger for the Trump side to take some form of action. Again, we're looking at these potential indictments, some of the big ones, and I do appreciate that commentators talk about the rabbit hole, and you know, you have to understand the control system on this planet, etc., etc. I don't care. Just be open, be public, and tell everyone what's going on. So, you know my stance, those of you who listen to me. I'm not one of these people that thinks it's okay to do everything under the cover. I believe we need to be out there doing it. Some very, very big changes taking place now across the world. One of the most important things in the White House and the Pentagon is that the Pentagon now has received the authority to pass or recruit nearly every arm. In other words, let's say a friend of Bush in the old days would present themselves and say, I've got a letter of introduction from Bush and I want you to give me a job, and they would. Well, now it's all coming through the Pentagon and thus the White House. So a lot of people who would not be good for America and are part of the old boy network or the satanic network, they're not going to get those positions. So it's one of the final checks now to prevent any new influx of negative people. So that's very exciting. In terms of the development of the US, this wall, something will be built, whether it's a wall or whether it's a fence, I really don't know, but there is now enough money that's been allocated to put across. And I thought, again, what was interesting was that the military had a meeting with Trump and said, look, we don't mind up to $6 billion. We won't prevent you using $6 billion of the reserves for the wall, because we think that it's quite an important aspect and it's important that you seem to do this. I think they were talking they need about $8 or $9 billion, but you know, if you make it a bit thinner, maybe $6 billion would cover it all. So huge changes on the planet. Just want to reiterate that the Pope, the present Pope, will remain in office but no longer has any control, and because he was seen to be throwing cardinals to the media, so many cardinals now are being investigated, churchmen being prosecuted, and the Catholic Church believes that the Pope should be protecting these people from the authorities. You know, the police investigation shouldn't happen, the media shouldn't be investigating these church people, and therefore the Pope is failing to do his job, and as a result of that there's been a coup within the Vatican. And although the Pope is kept as a figurehead, because they could hardly have him drown in his bath or accidentally on purpose electrocute himself, he has to remain. But all the decision-making processes are now in the hands of three or four cardinals. That's not surprising, because every member of the Catholic faith who has a criminal background would now be terrified that the Pope is prepared to sell them down the river as they see it. Remember, these people don't think about justice, they just think about doing things and getting away with them. So if your head of your organization is beginning to let you to the situation like that, they weren't going to stand for it, because the Catholic Church would have collapsed, it would have fallen apart completely. Remember that much of it is a money-making machine, and like any structure, any organization, if the controllers start disappearing and nobody wants to take their job, then that money-making structure, that creation begins to falter. And so this is their ground. Now, I did have a quick look before I came online at Benjamin Fulford's information. Much of it I agree with. I'm not 100% clear that it's all a done deal. I think that there's a fair bit of arguing to be done. I certainly think that there are a number of people in the Middle East who are not going to play ball. I'm not convinced of an immediate war between America or Syria and America and Iran, with Israel pulling the strings or becoming involved. I'm sure as heck think there are people who would like that, but I don't see that immediately occurring. The crash of the economies, which we've been talking about for donkey's years, and before me, commentators have been talking about for donkey's years, that's a very real possibility this year. Do you remember the word reset? We used to hear that every other day. Well, that's out of favor now. That word's not being used. But a realignment, I think, is a much better word. So it's a soft crashing. Remember, President Trump stood on a platform to make America great again, and he's not going to let the economy crash because he would be reneging on his election promises. But I do believe in a reset, and I think that the situation of the Federal Reserve Bank is absolutely critical. While the Federal Reserve Bank stays in the same guise that it is at the moment, you can't get a reset. So this audit, this investigation, if that comes through and is published and is acted upon, then the Federal Reserve's position within the structure of the United States government will change dramatically. And that leaves a way open to a reset. Dividing the planet into two major halves, but sub-halves. So basically, the United States and anyone who wants to be with the US on one side and Russia on the other. You remember the war between India and Pakistan, and I said, look, I think that they've done enough to cool it, and how it's gone very quiet. And that's because the major powers let it be known that they were not going to support a war. India's being verbally fought over. The Americans want India in their camp, and the Russians and the Chinese want India in their camp. And it looks like India's going to go to Russia. That's the way it's looking. Syria has bought absolutely billions of dollars, or has placed billions of dollars, arms deal with Russia. So we can look now at the globe, and we can begin to almost get a pencil and draw a line around it. We can say this half is with this and this half is with that. We've been talking about that, but it's now becoming very clear. And of course, the Zionist movement on one side, you've got the Vatican on the other, you've got those people who have gone too far and they can't turn back anymore. And these are the three main groups now that have yet to find where they are going to be. So it's an incredibly important time. It's the busiest time since January. So much is yet to occur. I did say there was always a potential of an earthquake. And again, I do want to say that sometime June, July, there is again a potential for some form of earthquake on the mainland US. That is a very real possibility. I do not wish to spread fear. That's not what it's about. There are some websites and commentators that absolutely revel in giving you one horror story after another. It's rather like the establishment newspapers who just want to print absolute terrifying news in the hope that people snap it up and buy it. But people have often asked about the San Andreas Fault, or you know, what could cause a tidal wave, what could cause an earthquake. And the reality is that if it was going to be artificial, all you simply do is you put a reasonably high-yield nuclear warhead into a submarine, and you send the submarine down off the coast of the US and you detonate it. That is what all this is about. Most commentators aren't talking about that. But that's been the threat for 20 years, but again is beginning to come back on the table now. The newspapers wouldn't agree, but there are quite a number of rogue nuclear weapons unaccounted for, mainly because under previous US administrations, in order to pit one country against another, these weapons were accidentally on purpose lost or transferred and never got there, or sank in a submarine and somebody went down and recovered them. So there's a lot to play out. This is the year, a great deal to play out. I'm going to end on a very positive note, which is we are going to go to the fifth dimension, and we are going to make it. And those who make it are those who choose to. Those who live in fear or want to stay in the world that they know, or can't look or seek for a more peaceful future, well, that's their choice, and they stay here. I know lots of people get very upset, and they tell me that they get cross when they're trying to talk to their members of the family to wake them up, and they just won't have it. And my stock answer is you cannot be responsible for other people. And then they're not ready yet, but maybe they will be in a month's time, who knows. So, you know, please don't get absolutely burnt up with the fact that X, Y, or Z is not coming around to your point of view. Don't waste your time. Go on to somebody else who is more likely and is more awake and prepared to do the research and have that spiritual moment. But certainly, if 20% of the planet goes into fifth dimension, whilst I think most of you would absolutely, you know, think that was dreadful, I would accept that. You know, if 20% of the population made it into fifth dimension, you know, that, so be it. It's people's choices. But remember that we're looking at people making choices on the evidence and the news they have. If everything that I want and I know that you want comes to fruition, then that will go up to 40-50%. Because if the real truth is carried on the establishment airwaves, then that is the symbol that will actually wake people up. At the moment, it's all underground. It's the alternative media, the truthful media, but it's those who have eyes to see and ears to hear spotting it. Now, those people who don't, you know, they need another chance. They need it absolutely pushed in their face. And at that point, if they refuse to believe what they're seeing, then no, they're going to stay in this dimension or fourth or wherever it will be. And maybe in a million years' time, we'll catch them when they come around again. So, really busy time for everybody. Really exciting. Don't take things at face value. Question, double question, and just ask your higher self or your heart or your soul what looks like the way forward, what seems the truth, and you know, just go with it like that. So thank you very much indeed. You know, we're all up late these nights, keeping a handle on things, and obviously if I get any really helpful news, then I'll make that announcement on the website. So thank you, Becky, for being so patient, and question time.
Okay, you're welcome. The first question is from Debbie, who says, urgent invite. Will you please join the Able Danger crew, Field, McConnell, Gordon and Andy, a gathering of eagles at Llangollen, North Wales, for the Children's Crusade. We will be here until the 25th of March 2019. All are welcome, and especially you. We were surprised with Miles Johnson attending each evening at the Hand Hotel, and has also filmed an episode with one of the attendees who's had her children removed for possible cloning. We'd love your input, and perhaps there will be some new information for you. Field would very much welcome you if you can visit. Thank you from Debbie, Portland, Oregon, USA. Admittedly, I would be honoured to meet you while I'm here in the UK.
I really would love to go. I'm going to have to really check the diary. That sounds to me like it's... we're doing this recording on Friday, so that sounds to me it's Saturday, Sunday and Monday. I potentially have some meetings, but if I can at all get away, I certainly will. Even if I can just stay for a couple of hours to show my support. And to have a discussion, it would be really important to me. Thank you for that. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. The next question is from Amin, who says, hi, Simon and Becky. Thanks for your show. Here is some information about free energy recently given by a person doing channeling. 14 have the technology of free energy ready to be spread, and between 200 and 300 scientists have been given some instruction about how to build new, in brackets old, free energy based on crystal and tachyon, in brackets, hypothetical particle that always moves faster than light. I always have difficulty with information sourced from channeling. Do you have any information about free energy technology being spread amongst our civilization within the next 5 years? Thank you.
People like Einstein and others who are scientists who use the control system of the third dimension, and they base all their mathematical calculations on the laws of the third dimension, were always bound to come up with inaccurate information. You know, there are a number of cases where they have shown that something existed that doesn't exist, and that sort of confounds the maths. It is possible to travel faster than the speed of light. It really is. That's not an issue at all. So that is one of the aspects of a technology. And it is interesting that I just, in the introduction, I talked about technology coming out of Antarctica. The quarantine is off the technology, not physically off transportation, but off the release of certain technologies. That lid has been lifted. And I can definitely confirm, but I couldn't give you numbers. You've given me numbers there, and I don't know that. But a number of people, and this has actually been going on for a little while, have received downloads to help them to complete or build or start a new concept in power and energy. But it would be wrong just to see it on that. There are other aspects that are not to do with what is technically, you know, called free energy. There are other aspects of technology that are being released to non-military individuals. And the difficulty is that when the establishment hear about this, they go and take action. Think about the Sun Observatory, where that was shut down, and SETI were on the receiving end of that. Where we've got situations where individuals or groups are beginning to put forward new concepts in this time frame, but as the contributor said, old information, then it's being shut down. So I can confirm that is happening all over the planet. And I suppose it's like a scattergun approach. If you hit 500, maybe one or two will get through. So yes, thank you for that.
Okay, thanks. Sandalwood says, source blessings, Simon and Becky, on keeping this work and broadcasting going. It's a support to many and a light in today's darkness. Do you know if Aleister Crowley made the Loch Ness Monster when he failed to complete a complex magic ritual at Boleskine House, or even control the demonic entities he was trying to bring through to this dimension by opening a dimensional door, as Max Spears once said? Crowley's failure was said to have unleashed a demon. Is this demonic dimensional door still open? And if it is, how can it be closed? Bless you, Simon and Becky.
Thank you for your kind words. Absolutely. Mm. If we take all the hype away and all the prejudice and all this, that and the other, we're left with a man, Aleister Crowley, who was a magician. And I always say to my clients, good men or women make good magic. Bad men or bad women make bad magic. The word black magic, right across the board, is taken as something very evil. When it isn't, it just means hidden magic, as the word occult means hidden magic. But we use the words black magic and occult magic to summon up these visions of evil. The reality is the correct word would be satanic magic. So we talk about satanic magic. What I do know is that Aleister Crowley attempted to call forth a demon. He created a portal which he was not able to close. There have been a number of attempts in the last 20 odd years to close this, and I have not been there, and I couldn't tell you whether it was open or closed. The interesting thing is about Loch Ness. If you look at any genuine pictures of Loch Ness, and there are genuine pictures, they are incredibly black. And that is a very interesting, and always has been an interesting subject to me, because this is just like a demonic energy. Now, I don't believe that Aleister Crowley called forth the Loch Ness Monster, but I do believe that he was conjuring with an energy that was too great for him. What actually happened was he was magicking a number of separate entities which coalesced into one life force. So he was calling forth a group, I can't call it an army. He was calling forth a number. He'd been working with them over a long period of time. First one, then the next one, then the next one. And it's like on a Skype chat. You've got about 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 people on there. But what happened is, if you can imagine this energy, woof, all came together. And instead of just exploding or breaking up into small parts, it created one new entity. Now, whether that entity then became the Loch Ness Monster, I really don't know. But I know that it created an entity which, from its mass or its size or its bulk, could perceive to be quite a large creature. Alistair Crowley has been poorly understood and poorly reported, because very few people were in his inner circle. It's a fantastic subject, really interesting. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. And Sandalwood also asks, I heard you once say that demons or jinn were pushed into their current dimension where they're stuck by humankind, and that's why they don't like humanity. Could you elaborate on this, and did these entities have solid bodies? Also, how and why did mankind push them from the earth? Thanks again for the great work that you do, and bless you.
Thank you. It wasn't conscious, It wasn't a deliberate attempt by humanity's consciousness to push these creatures out. But if you are a entity that has part corporeal, part physical, but also part an energy existence, it means that you are one of these lucky creatures that can actually exist in a physical world, but also in another world, but be located in one place physically, although you would be located in two places, but the energy would be in the other one. The reality here is that when humans were just a few hundred or a few thousand, the consciousness of humanity was equal. It was spread around the planet. I don't want you, please, to imagine that you have these city-states or these conurbations, and so human consciousness is like little bubbles around them. What happens is, if you were to drop a drop of ink into water, of course it will drop down into the water. But if you give it a stir with a stick, perhaps it should be reasonably equally distributed amongst the whole volume of water. So that's what I'd like you to imagine with human consciousness, is equally distributed. But with just a few hundred or a few thousand souls, the water is very clear. It's only slightly murky. And as the human population grew and grew and grew and grew, this murkiness, if we can explain that, becomes heavier and heavier and heavier, not denser in terms of fourth dimensional density, but it becomes more dense, and therefore the environment for these creatures that could no longer live in it. Because what happened is that human consciousness had taken hold of the third reality, the third dimension, and had made it its. Because humans took the planet as theirs. They believe it to be theirs. And that ownership, that connection, remember in the early days, people had a fantastic connection to the planet, and the planet had a wonderful connection to most people. And so literally, if you can just imagine an arm sweeping across a table, or a snow plow pushing the snow, then that's what happened. And all these creatures which could live in both physical and energy form found their energy form being pushed out, not the physical form, their energy form. And there wasn't enough strength from human consciousness to breach into the fourth, but there was enough to push out of the third, but to be trapped somewhere between the third and the fourth. So we call these Denzians, these demons, we call them interdimensional entities, because they exist in the interdimensional space. Now, we know from the CERN experiments, that 2 years ago they discovered there was a fourth dimension. But you notice how there wasn't a huge fanfare about it, because if they admitted overtly there was a fourth dimension, then we know there would be a fifth and a sixth and a seventh, and they don't want you to know that. But nevertheless, they did have to announce in the major newspapers about an article about that big, tiny, there's a fourth dimension. Now, privately, scientists accept that there is a space between the third and the fourth, but they expect, or they accept, that it's about the thickness of a piece of newspaper. So they would say that you could get a sheet of paper between the third and the fourth. Well, outside of this reality, time and space don't operate the same. I think you'd find a city the size of New York sitting between the third and the fourth dimension. Now, these where these creatures live, not in a city, but they have a space, a reality that's equal to a huge size, and that's where these creatures live. So they were not pushed out deliberately. It was part of humanity's evolution. The creatures blame the humans, quite rightly, because it was humans that did it, although unintentionally. And rather than sit around the table and say, please, can we have a discussion about how we can come back and share this earth with you? They would rather, because they're trapped, they haven't got the technology to permanently come through. So they require Ouija boards, or they require some form of satanic magic or ritual magic to bring them out of that interdimensional space to come into this reality, and they then can take a physical body. So the answer is yes. In this world, just like the Greys, they can take a physical body, but they can move back into their own world and be part energy, part physical. That's a good question. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Ajay or AJ says, hopefully this question gets through to you, Simon. Probably the fourth question I have sent. Really appreciate your great efforts in helping us understand better. My question is regards to the mantids. You mentioned that they are in the 3D with us, and they would also progress to 5D should all go well. So my question is, are they visible to the human eye, in brackets, as they are in the 3D? Are they present all the time, or do they flitter out of the 3D?
All of those at once, actually. Any creature that's from another dimension can, if they choose, come down the ladder. It's incredibly difficult to go up the ladder. You have to win your spurs. You have to do the hard work and then be promoted evolutionary-wise up to those dimensions. But if you've already received an award for being in the sixth or seventh dimension and you wish to drop down, because it's considered that you've made all of that effort to rise up, therefore you can go down if that's your choice. So it's very comparatively easy for those in the fourth dimension to come into the third. They can be seen, and I think you sort of touched on this, they can be seen in an energy state. So the first phase is where they do not show up to most humans. Some people have the capability of seeing them, and they may show up with some cameras. Not all cameras, but some cameras will see them. Remember, they don't operate in the infrared, they're not like an alien spacecraft, but a digital camera has a greater opportunity of picking these things up than the human eye. Some people see them really with their physical eyes, but most people see them with the psychic eye, and they are able to discern a shape and a pattern around them. The important point for me here is that no alien creature can rise up, that's in the fourth dimension, can rise up to the fifth unless it has done the hard work to allow that to happen. In other words, the reptilians, to coin a phrase, couldn't hold on to your shirt tails and go up to the fifth dimension because they would be blocked. They just couldn't exist. They would not, as humanity moved through the fourth, as they began to leave the lower fourth and move into the higher fourth, they wouldn't make it. They just wouldn't. Now, I don't know what would happen, whether it'd be like hitting a brick wall, but they certainly couldn't do it. Only chance for a mantid would be if it had made decisions and done things which actually supported the human race, that it had come to terms with its own past and had made a plan to rectify that. Therefore, it wouldn't be up to humanity whether it evolved, it would be up to the source. And if those things were judged to be okay, then yes, it would come up. So, you know, I would like all creatures to come to that position and to be able to evolve because source had said, you know, you passed the test, basically. And that's what we are doing down here on this earth, is we're having these tests. And my goodness me, we have one test after another. But this is part of it. We get through this. We've won our medal, if you like, and then we can move up. So, like any creature from the fourth dimension, it can be perceived with your psychic eye, it can be perceived with your ordinary eyes, It can be an energy format, like a group of lights or like neon lines moving, or it can be actually in its real physical form. So when these entities interact with the military, predominantly the US military, but not exclusively, they're in the physical form. And it's not really so difficult to get your head around, because if they were once in the third dimension themselves, they have the capability then to come down. Now, when you get to the sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth dimension, then it's much harder. You've got to come and collect a physical body. What the New Age refers to as light bodies, if you're one of these beings and you want to come and exist on the Earth, you've got to collect a physical body. Now, clones are very good. You could have a cloned body and you could exist in a cloned body, or you could exist in another body. So there are ways around that issue. But in terms of the questioner, I hope those answers cover most of it for you. Thank you.
Thanks. There's a little bit more. Okay. The questioner goes on to say, where do they inhabit and what is the best source to learn more about them? I have become more interested in them recently and want to ask these questions. Warm regards, AJ.
Well, AJ, we call it the Sombrero Galaxy. I haven't a clue what NASA would refer to it as. It looks like a big Mexican hat with gas and nebula. It's called the Sombrero. So if you go Google Sombrero Galaxy, you will find that was their original location in terms of a stopping off point. I'm not going to say that's the home world, but it is the home world now. So it wasn't always their home world, but that is the place that most of them originate from. And there is a big difference between mantids or mantis and insectoids. If we talk about the insectoid species or the insectoid race, then we've got a whole plethora of groups. When we talk about mantis or mantid, we're talking about one specific group within the insectoid range. Was there a question about how do you see them or something? Sorry, Becky.
What's the best source to read about them? Where can they find out more about mantids?
The difficulty is that a lot of stuff on the internet is just baloney. Not deliberately so. Some of it, of course, is by paid agents just causing as much trouble as they can, but the vast majority of it is someone who's read a book here, maybe listened to a conference or gone to a radio show or something like that, and then they put it all together and they get the time frames completely mixed up and they get the names mixed up and all the rest of it, but they do it and they sell it as absolute fact. And they don't specify one group, they just talk about it generally. So it's incredibly difficult. Your best bet, seriously, as with all of these things, is to find people who you believe are genuine, in the sense that they've had genuine encounters with these beings. It might be they've had some channeling, doesn't matter. If you believe the information they have to be genuine, that's your best route. Because otherwise you're stuck with absolute fabrication or Hollywood dreamlike things. But the point is that if someone is operated on by a mantid, they can't really give you that much information about it. But if someone has more of an ongoing relationship, or maybe it's a 20 years of channeling with these beings, then you're going to have much more of an impact in terms of your study, because of the information they will give you. So, just be aware that the vast majority of material now on the internet about any alien race is someone who's just trawled different other bits and pieces, stuck them together, and that's actually far more dangerous. And, sometimes when I'm asked a question, if I don't know, I have said, I don't know, I don't have any information on that, because I would much rather do that than try and tack bits on, because that's not what it's about. So that's my best bet. And even if you don't have any conscious memory of connection with any of these beings, just again ask your higher self, because we're all divine beings, and ask yourself, does this information seem accurate? And what you can do is test it. And so if you've got a piece of information that you think's important, and you can get access to three or four people who genuinely had connection with the mantid race, you can say, listen, I read this. Does this sound right to you? A good example in terms of looks, I mean, the number of people when I go to conference who come to me and tell me they've had experience of X, Y, or Z, and some of them are very genuine and truthful. Some of them are not. And so I will always ask them, well, how many fingers does this have? I don't do it inquisitorially or nastily. I just say, oh, you saw that. How many fingers does it have? How does it walk? And if a person has really had the experiences that they claim to have, they should be able to answer my questions immediately. They should be able to tell me. And those people that can't, well, you know, it does bring into question the information that they're putting forward. So I would say to you, if you have a burning question, find as many people as you can who strike you as genuine and test that information against them. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Catherine says, Dear Simon, I have followed you for a long time on YouTube, and I'm writing this with permission from my grown-up daughter, who is married and mother of twins.
Okay.
I live near her, and I have heartbreakingly witnessed her decline in health and mental state for the past 2 years, with her saying that a man living in the same block of flats in London is using magic on her. She has seen and spoken to mediums who agree and talk about past life soulmates, but they don't seem to offer any way of helping her.
Mm-hmm.
It is breaking up her life and her marriage, and I am hoping you can fix up an appointment to hear all the problems firsthand from her. Thank you for all you do.
Well, Becky, if you'd be very kind to email the person and book her an appointment reasonably quickly, I'd be happy to see her. If she can't afford to pay, then I'll do it for nothing. But if she can afford to pay, then she will pay. Obviously, that could become a private thing with that person, but what we can just talk about now is... In London, most of the magic that's created at street level is voodoo, or is voodoo-based magic, and it's potentially possible that this is a voodoo-based magic. Relatively easy to deal with. It's not necessarily off-planet. There are some demonic stuff, but it's not off-planet. I would be interested to hear, and then I would offer you a solution to it. In rare cases, I have to visit, but it's about gaining that information. It's about knowing who's behind it, why they're behind it, what's their power base. And so, you know, we could quickly do that within 15 minutes. I get everything I need in 15 minutes. So Becky will email you and we'll take it from there. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. I'm just...
Now, you were saying to me that we had an awful lot of people trolling our questions, didn't you?
Yeah, we have. We've had a couple of people who have really trolled the questions by just writing one-liners, and they don't mean anything. You know, if you want to do that and waste our time, then that's
let's not invite them to do
that.
I think the point is that what's happening is now we get the questions in. Well, I don't, as a rule, look at these questions. I don't need to see them. I don't have foresight. I've never done that. Sometimes when I do radio shows for other people, you know, they say to me, we'll send you the questions 24 hours beforehand. And I say, no, I don't want them. That's not the way I work. But what Becky has told me is that there are so many of these trolling questions that have come in that now it's really difficult for her to try and go through and pick out the serious ones. So if during this next 15 minutes or so we've got left, if there are delays while Becky's reading through that, that's simply because so many people are trolling it. Please don't do it, because this radio show I do to get information out, and you know, for every nonsensical question that you put in, it prevents another person really from having a decent question answered. So while you're doing that, Becky, I'm going to do my thank you list. I'll give you some more time to trawl through all of the nonsense. I want to thank people for supporting the work I do. It's obviously important, and I'm very extremely grateful to you for doing what you do. I want to thank Imgard, Simon, Valerie, Anita, Rick, Bob, Enrique, Imogen, Sue, Robert, Greta, Aura, Julius, Christopher, Katrin, Barry, Goodmund, Tina, Elisa, Shamsa, Isabel, Jane, Claudia, Cheryl, Maria, Danielle, Olaf, Pamela, Carl, Tanya, Pascal, Valerie, Bjorn, and I did make a point that one of my little favourite cats here is called Stormbjorn, Big Bear, and I'm sorry that we haven't had a single cat visit us, and that's, I promise you, it's not because they're all locked in somewhere, it's simply because at this time it's their siesta, so they like to sleep. But I do promise you that Bjorn, Stormbjorn, will at some point make his debut. That just reminded me. Charlotte, Sam, Kiss, John, Thomas, Udu, and finally Texas. And I'm very grateful. That's not the whole list. I'm sure I've missed a few people. Mm-hmm. So if you have helped out and your name is not there, take my thanks anyway, and I'm hopefully to read it next time around. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. The next question is from Ellie, who writes, on Out of This World, on the 15th of March 2019, you commented that the ones responsible for all the evil and chaos in the world are required to give a heads-up notice before one of their evil deeds is perpetrated, i.e. 9/11 in the Matrix. Apparently Q is always one step ahead of what is happening regarding Trump's plan to MAGA, and Q gives us codes and clues to decipher in order to see behind the fake news stories. Is Q working for the dark side? Is Trump working for the dark side? Or are they using technology to communicate truthfully to those who are waking up?
Q is nothing more than a group of people, men, and a supercomputer. It is part of the military complex that is behind President Trump. President Trump communicates with his electors via Twitter, and he couldn't put out on Twitter some of the things that Q can put out. So what the military decided was that they needed an autonomous non-entity that could release information. And there was no following back to who that was. There was no trace back. So it had to be an organization that was incredibly powerful to be able to protect anyone trying to backtrack and find out who they were. And it had to be somebody who had information. So if you're sitting in a meeting on Tuesday afternoon and you discuss certain policies or you discuss certain things, then you know the timeline for that. So you can go to your supercomputer and you can couch things in such a way that it's cryptic, but you have the timeline, so you can know that. Now remember that supercomputers can also predict 6 months ahead on human timelines reasonably accurately. So I don't believe that Q is evil. I believe it is part of the military industrial complex that is actually backing President Trump and is anti-satanic. That's a real important thing. Now what we do have to be very careful of is that although the military-industrial complex have the machinery and the know-how, the satanic group have the money, but not necessarily the hardware to hack it. So from time to time, there could be a thread or a theme that comes out of Q which doesn't seem to be right and could be hacked. So I would suggest that the vast majority of stuff coming from what we call Q is accurate, and it is anti-satanic, but from time to time I'm sure that things try to hack in there and present that. Is Trump evil? No, he's not evil. Varying degrees of evilality, but he's not evil. He's a businessman. He's not just a president, he's a businessman. He amassed a fortune in billions. Did he do that by being good? Or did he do that by being a ruthless businessman? Now it's the United States of America we're talking about. And being big in business is seen as being successful and is seen as being the right thing to do. In Great Britain, publicly people say, oh, that's terrible, but privately they all think it's great. You know, the culture in Britain is very similar to the US. How I look on it is, has a person tortured a child? Has a person murdered a child? Has a person murdered another person? See, that's evil to me. That's satanic. If a man reaches government and there are lots of financial deals, sadly that's normal. You may not like it, but that's what happens on the third dimensional world. Now, I would always go for that over somebody who murdered or abused children. Always. And I've said that, you know, President Trump is not the best man on the planet. He was the right man, the right time, the right place. But I will be able to say to you in two years and a bit whether the hopes that we had came to fruition, or whether President Trump decided that he didn't want to go down the full route because it would cause too much aggravation. So we don't know yet, and we don't know until the last day of his office. Well, that's not true. We're going to know before then. But the reality here is that President Trump isn't controlled by the satanic forces that control so much of the other elite. And I keep on having to say this. If Trump was part of the satanic elite, every major newspaper, every major news channel would be talking him up. Think about Obama. He couldn't do anything wrong. The cameras would be placed in the right angle. He'd be fed the right questions. Everyone would be saying, you know, he's a statesman. He's done this. He's done that. And all the carnival around any meetings, all pre-worked out. It's dreadful. Absolute, just awful, plastic and fake. Now, Trump's not like that. He's not controlled by these people. They don't bribe him. They can't do anything like that to him. So the result is that the man is a loose cannon. Now, lots of people don't like that. But the reality is, and the reason I like President Trump, is because he's a maverick. And that means that the satanic forces can't control him. And that's why I support him, because the satanic forces don't pull his strings. He's very closely attached to the military. I mean, I think President Trump has had more news conferences in arms factories or tank factories or military command posts than any other president. And this is a message being sent out. And if you're not American, it's very difficult to grasp this. The major theme coming through is that Trump is saying, if you try to do anything stupid, you will cause a civil war. And what Trump is continually saying is that the military back me. The military back me. And if you try and do anything that's satanic or anti the Constitution, you will have a war on your hands. And that is why Trump has not been assassinated. That is why no one's tried to take him out yet. And the reality is, as long as Trump maintains the confidence of a number of generals, he's there for as long as the electoral period allows him to be there. Now, I think we've got probably one more question, Becky, and then I think we've probably come up to our hour.
Okay. Well, the last question then is from V, who says, "Greetings and good vibes. I used to work the night shift, got off at 4 a.m., would walk my dog because he needed it. I heard something in the trees, which then dropped to the ground across the street amidst the leaves. In dim light, it looked like a small dark shape, four-legged, roundish, 3 foot at the shoulder, shape of a pig or a bear. It crossed over to my side of the street, but travelled the same direction ahead of us. By next street light, about 300 feet away, it stood up on its back legs to 6 foot tall and lanky, and it looked in my direction. I decided not to go closer. I dragged my dog to another route before it could fixate on us. Days later, several pets went missing. Do you have any comments on this?"
Oh, lots. I must try and find it. There's a genuine video, and it's not actually down on that. It's down on, it's one of these, I think it's one of these Russian car crash videos, and you know, it's very popular to post car crashes in Russia, because Russia is probably the worst place to drive, and I don't want to upset President Putin, of course, heaven forbid, but it's a pretty difficult place to, very brave, to take your car out on a Russian street. But there is one clip where, and I think I showed you it, Becky, mm-hmm. where an energy form runs across two rows of highways, and it causes cars to crash. It's not CGI, it's not a joke. Cars literally do crash because something that's energetic moves across. Now, what you're describing as a demonic form, it doesn't sound to me like an alien. It sounds demonic and far more prevalent than people give the credit for. I mean, all the attention is on greys and reptilians and et cetera, et cetera. And we don't get the sort of attention on the demonic force that we should do. Now, what you're describing, I believe, is either a shadow being or a demonic force. Mm. And if I can find that video, I'm going to send it to Andy and see if he can post it, or at least put a link to it with the right time on the clock where you'd have to look for that. You did the right thing in moving the other direction. And what you didn't say would have been really helpful is whether, when it looked in your direction, you felt like you'd walked into a fridge. That is a very important point. Thank you very much indeed for your questions. It's been a really difficult few days because so much is going on. But at the moment, things, whilst they're difficult, they're not over the cliff edge. But we will keep real close on that. So thank you very much indeed, and lots of love to everybody. Take care. Bye-bye.